What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I'm Jeremy Jackson, your host. I've got my buddy, Bubba Wilson. We are talking about athletic trainer war stories. So Bubba shared some of his in sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/war stories. And then we've been reading tweets to responses to a tweet that I got in sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/war stories 2. And this one is war stories 3. So I would recommend going to War Stories 1, and then working your way through. But we've done it like this so that these things can kind of stand alone. Hopefully it's like a shorter podcast. You just get to laugh, get to learn a little bit. And then you hit us up and tell me what your stories are. Maybe you didn't get to share them. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com has the ways you can get a hold of me. You can tweet, Facebook, email. You can call and leave a voicemail, I think I have on there. And then I could play the clip on here. So check that out, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/war stories. And this one is War Stories 3. All right. So Mike McKinney. Mike is a good friend. He lives in Boston. He let us come over to his house and eat dinner. I've talked to Mike a couple of times on the show. A really cool dude, really smart. And so he responded and said he had a track athlete with a double ankle sprain. All right. So the athlete sprained their ankle and then was hopping around to avoid putting any pressure on that ankle, and then ended up spraining the other one. And I can only imagine.
You know, if you look at it, I mean, that's not uncommon. But at the same time, probably one athlete a year in middle school that falls down and has bilateral forearm fractures. You know, that's pretty common too. I had an athlete, high jumper, avulse their sartorius while trying to high jump. And the fun part of that was trying to get them out of the high jump mat. We ended up having to scoop stretcher them to get them out, to get them to the hospital.
All right. So actually, now that you said that, middle school athlete with the bilateral arm fractures, I know there was somebody in this district recently that had that, just playing basketball, run into the wall, put the arms out, boom, and just snap both those arms.
Yeah.
And that's a reason you need to have athletic trainers in the middle school. So that's a whole different podcast that we've done. So check those out. There's lots of times I've talked about that, and something we're still working on. All right. So again, the double ankle sprain. is that the athlete? His teammates were laughing at him, and of course, me as the athletic trainer, I would have been laughing too. Like, dude, this is, I don't even know how you do this.
I think you're unconscious if you're not laughing.
All right. So continuing on down the list, Lens, which is Lens M Babe 21 on Twitter, LINZMBABE 21, said she had a kid go in for shoulder surgery and come out
complaining of mild shortness of breath.
Yeah, so mild shortness of breath, and the nurse said it was from a nerve block. The next day, they brought him into the ER for a punctured lung.
Had an athlete have ACL surgery, normal, healthy 21-year-old, no history of anything, and came in and had bilateral pulmonary embolisms, had blood clots in the lungs with no risk factors, family history, nothing. So that was kind of crazy.
So the ACL, and then they had the bilateral embolism?
Mm-hmm.
You know, an athletic trainer that I know recently, no history of blood clots, embolisms, and was flying from here in the United States, you know, just a couple hours away, flying back here. So then was put on basically bed rest for a couple of weeks because she had blood clots. They just, mm-hmm. I don't know, just, it's so strange. Just random stuff you have to deal with there. All right, so Lynn's continued on there saying, yes, there's a small puncture leak, and the lung was at 50% when they did the chest x-ray. All right, so we got Tiffany Evans, TK Evans 506, had a femur fracture kid from a visiting team with no athletic trainer. On the way to the ambulance, he straight-faced asked her if he could play the next week. I love those where I can't even finish reading it out loud because it's just, I know that happened. Like, I can see it happening.
Well, the only thing missing is the coach asking, you know.
Can you go? Can you go? I need him to play.
Big game next week. Is it going to be okay?
All right. Megan Melinchak, Mega underscore Tron 22 says, she's been inspired by some of these stories. Had an intern working with football get trucked during a scrimmage and get a trimalleolar fracture.
Nice.
So what is trimalleolar fracture? Fractures the malleus in three places?
Oh, I'm not going to be able to talk it through, so.
All right, so we'll continue. Bubba will be back in a second. And then a separate incident had a wrestler get bilateral meniscus tears during the same match. So, I don't know. I can kind of understand the meniscus tear if it was, like, associated with a knee dislocation or something like that, but that just seems pretty crazy. So, all right, what's the trimalleolar fracture? No? All right, so Bubba is out of commission for right now. All right, so we went back to Geeky Athletic Trainer. Says they had a wrestler trying to get revenge for a concussion a previous year on the opponent, broke his radius and ulna, and then his mom went into shock. So trying to get revenge, you end up breaking both your bones or forearm, and then your mom passes out. So that's something we talked about recently, is just the parents trying to rush down there and be involved and then passing out as well. And I think I shared the story of whenever Sarah had our second son, it was so fast. And like, I could see that, like, it was just so much pain and, you know, everything was just happening. And I was like, oh my goodness. I almost passed out. Like right after the doctor caught the baby and handed it to her, I was like, I got to sit down.
I don't think he listens, but I've got a buddy that had a starting running back tear his meniscus having sex with his girlfriend. So I'll leave it at that. The rest of the story is off air. But talking about the parents, we were playing here at Pasadena and had a kid get lit up on opening kickoff. And I go out there and I'm talking to, it's a concussion. I'm talking to him and you can hear this gasp. And the mother was freaking out and wanting to come see her baby. And tried to go over the rail and fell flat on her back on the side right there by the wall. She just splayed out right over there. So, needless to say, we beat her to the sideline of her getting up. But, yeah.
Nice. All right, so Geeky Athletic Trainer again, saying a friend's husband complained of calf soreness from bracing her legs the day after she gave birth to twins. Yeah, so it kind of changed to pregnancy stories there. And that's no joke. I do not envy a woman in giving childbirth. That just wreaks havoc on your body. So, Vonnie, V-O-N-N-I-E-A-T-C, said they had a kid with a pacemaker. And so that's actually something I think two or three people said, or I've heard a couple times. Have you ever experienced a kid with a pacemaker?
Mm-mm.
I
had a football player with one kidney, which was shocking that they allowed him to play, but he played offensive line, so your risk is lower there, but I've never had one with a pacemaker.
So somewhere on here, well, I'm sure we'll get to it, but someone said they had a kid with a fractured kidney, so where it actually, like, busted in two.
I know who that is.
And then they ended up, the kid was, I think, played soccer the next year because they, you know, didn't want to go back and play football. When I was in high school, a friend of mine had a ruptured kidney playing football, and I know he was out for a couple weeks and wasn't able to return to football. But, yeah, craziness. So I need to find out more what you would do on a kid with a pacemaker, like what special considerations. So if you know how you would treat that, how you would do things differently, special considerations, special things you need to look for on a kid with a pacemaker, then let me know, and I can include that there in the show notes. If you have kind of a document or a handout, something like that, then let me know there. All right, moving on down the line, Ron Linfont.
He's old.
He's old. You know Ron?
No, I'm just reading it. He dates himself.
I'm sure he's going to appreciate that. All right, so the first game as a student AT covering a high school football game by himself, which is not allowed anymore.
Different time.
When within the first 15 minutes, they had a concussion of the QB, which, again, I mentioned there that back in the 70s, there wasn't a concussion unless you were unconscious and couldn't get yourself up, you know, within a reasonable amount of 10 minutes or so.
But you still went back in the game.
Yeah. You got 5 minutes later. Are you okay? No headache? All right, go back in. They got a dislocated hip in the tailback, and then a dislocated shoulder with the fracture of a clavicle, all in a game as a student. And, you know, Bill kind of took over my coworker here, the sports medicine responsibilities as like a middle schooler. And he tells me stories about having to, like, basically make medical decisions as like a freshman, sophomore about these high school athletes when he has no more training, really, just slightly more training than the coaches and dealing with injuries.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the way it was back in that time, and that is crazy. So, yes, please, please don't leave high school kids by themselves with to evaluate injuries. That's illegal. Tanya McKinney, Tanya T-A-N-I-A-M-C-K, says they had a football player down on the field with a concussion. When they asked if he knew where he was, he said, on the grass. Yes, that's good. So technically he was right, but you continue on going right there. Matthew Boyne, sorry, Matthew, M-B-O-Y-N-E 918, says they had a one time where he asked the athlete what happened, and all he would say, yell really, was Gerber baby food is good for everybody.
He's Batman.
Have you ever had Gerber baby food as an adult?
No, I try to stay away from it. I had a concussion. You go out there to get him, and he's watching cartoons. You can just see it. I mean, lights are on and nobody's home. So we're walking off the field, and you know, typically the PA guy will be like, you know, so-and-so, you know, and everybody claps and does all that thing. So we're walking off the field, and they say his name and his number, and it said, okay, so-and-so number 81. So I just asked him, I said, hey, what's your number? And he thought for a second, looked down, he said, number 18. And I just lost it at that point. I'm like, you know, if there was ever any doubt, that ended it right there. And there was no doubt to begin with. But and his mom's at the rail, and she goes, I guess he's okay. And I said, well, yes and no. She goes, what are you laughing at? And I told her, and she just shook her head and just walked away at that point. She's like, oh, he's out of it. I said, yep. So I just found that funny. You know, he's like, what's your number? 18.
Mm-hmm.
So close enough.
Close enough. That'll do, pig. All right, so then going back to Tanya McKinney, says he had one that never would have cussed in front of me. And so they came up to her and said, man, I just got knocked the F out. And then got the correct answer when she asked her name, but every other question after that was also his name. So the kid got knocked out and then just kept repeating his name, apparently, every time he was asked a question. So Geeky Athletic Trainer, pretty active there on Twitter. So again, Geeky Athletic Trainer, search up, and it would be easier to find than the Twitter handle.
Grant, that's a good one.
So Geeky Athletic Trainer said they had a friend named Katie got concussed so badly that she thought her name was Ashley for about 4 hours. So, yeah, you just wonder if it was, you know, concussion or if there was something else involved. And so I asked that question, but she's like, nope, there was nothing else. No alcohol, no middle name, no sister named Ashley. It was just really got jacked up. So I've never, you know, the weirdest one I had was I had a football player come. He's like, Jackson, I just got a concussion. I'm like, what? And this is, we weren't a very good football team. And the team we were playing was a really good football team. And so it was one of those things like, are you just trying to get yourself out of the game or what? And I think this was actually before the Senate Bill 82 stuff. And so it wasn't like if somebody suspects a concussion, right, you have to keep them out. It's like, well, let me evaluate you. Okay, well, apparently you don't want to go back in, so we're just going to keep you out anyways. But it's just weird. Have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, hey, I just had a concussion? Maybe in the last couple of years after all the education.
Yeah, but not before 2011.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was so weird.
I did have one back before we were more, what's the word I'm looking for, responsive and towards concussions and looking out for them, where back in the day, the kid would ride back with the team, where now you would take them with you, you know, if you're on a different bus. And so the kid had a concussion and rode back with the team. And by the time we get off the bus, the kids are coming to me saying, play along. And I didn't know what they were talking about until the kid came up crying and asked me if he was homosexual. On the way from the stadium to the school, the other athletes had him convinced that he was gay from his concussion. So, you know, that this was way before our PC culture now. And so it was even his mother was laughing at that one, that he was buying into that. So it was pretty interesting, the depths at which his buddies would go to jack with him when he wasn't all there. So,
all right. So this is the one that you were just kind of talking about.
Yeah.
Grant Bargender, it's BARGENDER_51 on Twitter, said they had dislocated jaw while yawning during a team meeting. All right, so then I asked, you know, is that normal? Like, that's what's wrong there? And so he said, actually, the kid's mom had the same thing. because they had a history of TMJ. So I can't, like, I mentioned that one to Sarah, and she was like, oh my gosh, don't tell me that. Because that, you know, she yawns, so sure, her jaw will pop. And so like, I think that's something that's always kind of like, oh no. And so now she knows that it is actually possible, which I never thought that would have been possible either. But
I've had two maxillary fractures in football. The first one, we don't know when it happened. But the second one, he got ear hold on punt return. And I'm not kidding, and I'll find the video and bring it to you one day to show you. From where he got hit to where his helmet stopped rolling was 15 yards. And as I'm going to him, I just glanced at his helmet to make sure his head wasn't in it still, you know, going out there. It's like, you know, because he got lit up. And both of them had to get their jaws wired shut.
Hmm.
So, of course, you know, for the next 6 weeks, they're carrying around clippers. I've got clippers, you know. Everything that goes with it, but yeah.
Clippers.
So if they start vomiting, you clip so they can let it go.
Huh.
So they don't aspirate. Don't choke.
Interesting. We had a kid get punched in the face and end up breaking his mandible right up front. So he just got, I think it was just one good solid punch from a kid, and he had been instigating and just thump. And so, like, the kid was having trouble. He was bleeding there, and I was like, here's some gauze. You need to go to the doctor. And so, at that point, I'm like, sorry, buddy. You're not an athlete. I'm not supposed to be treating you. I can do basic first aid. You got to go. Crazy stuff. All right. So, Ray, amazing Rachel on Twitter, said she had a football player messing around on the blacktop, ran into a chain link fence, and basically scalped himself.
Ow.
Yeah. So, you know that the face, the head, all that bleeds a whole lot. And so, it went back. She said the scalp went back far enough to on his skull that his eye started to swell and droop. But it was a really like get the bleeding under control type situation until EMS arrived, and then they kept him awake and talking. So I can only imagine having somebody like scalped, just sliding. You see the skin peeled back, maybe even stuck on the fence still. Ugh. Anything crazy like that, Bubba?
No. No, that'd have been number one on my list if I'd have had that.
All right. We got Marcy Amelia Abraham. Marcy Amelia ATC. Says the same quarter of a football game, a kid had a kidney fracture. There you go. That's what I was talking about.
Different person. I know of another one here locally.
Wow. So, like you said, it was split right in half. So they did eval the kid. Oh, in the middle of the evaluation, kid A, which is the kidney fracture, kid B goes down with what is called by a spinal cord contusion. And so they started to have signs and symptoms of shock about 20 to 30 minutes after the hit, which earned them a trip to the emergency department. Initially, thoughts were kidney contusion and a fracture of the ribs was possible. And after it was fairly stable and alert, and he tried to avoid me and was pretty adamant about staying to watch the game. At first, he was fairly stable. So, that was the first time I'd ever heard of a kidney fracture before. What are your thoughts there, Bubba? How would, obviously you got to have some imaging to be able to tell that for sure, but what are some of the things that we need to look for on a kidney injury like that?
Well, I mean, it'd be flank pain early, but then it's acutely after that. I mean, unless you start urinating blood right after, I don't know. You know, I mean, that's, you know, what are you doing the next day? I hurt back here. If you had any problems peeing, you know, is that first question that comes out of your mouth. I think with the kid with the stroke changed some of what I do in that at the time I didn't have my blood pressure cuff and stethoscope and all that with me because I had a truckload of other things I was delivering. And as I jokingly say now, I don't go anywhere without it. I think, you know, depending on how they're doing, that's, you got to check those vitals too. That's important now, you know, on all that. Just make sure they're not bleeding and, you know, having internal bleeding, you got issues. But it's the pain. What's that level of the pain? Thinking about that, I had a kid take a shot to the ribs and dinged a nerve and he couldn't breathe, you know, and they actually had to give him some medicine in the hospital to help him out. But, you know, that's just one of those, that tough kid that can't catch a breath and couldn't catch a breath for, you know, 15 minutes. And it's like, now we're gone. But that's the other part of it, which is easier for you guys in your role than me, is knowing your athletes. You know, we pretty well in the high school setting know the tough kids versus the not tough kids after about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if I'm coming in complaining, shut up, it's something new every day with you, you know, we'll get to you, versus somebody else coming in going, he doesn't complain, you know. He could have his arm dangling there on the side and he wouldn't say anything about it. So that's a tough one. I don't know, you know, how you figure that one out on the field.
Where were we here? All right, so pause. So it's K-O-O-N-U 16, says a former doctoral student was talking about one time a chin strap got pushed upward and then ripped down, catching the bottom lip. So when the guy started drinking water, the area above the chin started filling up. So he had ripped the inner attachment of the lip from the mandible. You ever seen anything?
No. That have been top of the list, too. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and so they didn't talk about how it was treated, because they didn't know. Like I said, it was a story that he had heard. So crazy, crazy stuff. All right. Kevin Joyce, KJATC, KAYJATC, said men's ice hockey player with a secondary chemical burn on his belt region sprayed Raid because he was showering. He saw something crawling there. So then geek athletic trainer jumps in, crabs, get crabs. And then Kevin says, yep, well, it says it's it's good for cracks and crevices on the can. So, you know, you can't blame him, right?
No, you can. You can.
All right, Rachel's got a few. Rachel Blakeman, so she's pretty responsive there on Twitter. So Rachel ATC, one athlete poked in the eye, busted all the capillaries in there, so it looked like a red spider web in her eye. Two, there was a distal tib fib fracture and dislocation with no contact. And then the foot turned completely opposite direction. So I've had two ankle dislocations with a fib fracture, but not a tib fib. And so I've never seen one turn completely around. And then number three was an athlete with a spontaneous pneumothorax. Number four from Rachel is a basketball player who caught the ball on the tip of her finger, had long nails, and one flipped backwards up like it was hinged and evolved halfway down the nail bed. Yeah, so I should have asked there, but if you have something like that, like I had a girl, a volleyball player, just got nails and like it ripped halfway and it was pulling up on the nail bed, I was like, hey, you need to go to the doctor and get that cut off, because I didn't want to just cut it off there in the athletic training room, because I was like, that's going to hurt, right, if I pull that up and don't want to get infected. So she ended up just ripping it off and then put a band-aid on it and played. So, yikes.
No.
I know. That's why I try to keep my fingernails short there. That's terrible. All right. So then it said the head AT, Rachel continues, and said the head AT at her undergrad ran into the boards playing ice hockey, and his stick got cut up under his ribs. So that evening he started getting weak and near passing out, nausea, and turns out he had a ruptured his spleen. So playing ice hockey, messing around, stick got cut up under his ribs. So, I mean, I think that's painful enough already, all right? But then you end up rupturing your spleen. That's brutal. You know, there was also a question, I think, on the Facebook group about playing in the faculty staff games, right? And so I always play. I'm almost 37 years old. I'm healthy. I work out. But, you know, you hear lots of people about concussions or ruptured Achilles and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I understand if you don't ever play sports, or if you don't ever run around anymore getting out there, then you're a lot more likely. But I guess it could happen anytime. Did you ever play in the faculty staff games?
No.
Why not?
I was there for the injuries.
See, yeah, usually if I'm not there playing, then I try to hide out so I don't have to deal with the injuries.
We would roll out the wheelchair and the AED for the coaches for that one.
But
we had a coaches versus a seniors basketball game.
Yeah.
It got pretty competitive. So
yeah, that's about what we normally do, is the seniors versus the faculty kind of thing. And it's always fun. Like I said, I always always try to play. All right, Alex coming back in. Again, Alex_day19 said the coach almost popped his eye out with a coat hanger, getting off the bus, and was super calm about having a piece of metal just hanging out of his eye socket.
No, thank you.
Yeah. I wish I had like seen like the whole process. Like, all right, what did you do? Did you put the gauze around it like they show you in the American Red Cross videos, and bandage it, and then snip it off and send them? Or, you know, like, I don't know, kind of one of those things I would like to see, but I'm not sure that I would like to see it. All right. My buddy Jared Plummer, Taping Pirate on Twitter, says he had an O lineman that caught, had his hand caught between his face mask and the D line removes it when the... All right, so he had his hand caught between the face masks of him and another guy. When he removed his gloves, the distal tip of the finger stayed in the glove. So basically just sheared the tip of that finger.
I've had one
of
those.
You have?
I actually saw it. But it was a DB, and he was going up, and two guys were going to collide. So, you know, he instinctively just put his hands up, and it got his index finger got caught between the two face masks, and you just see the spray of red. And it just degloved that distal aspect of it off. And it's still deformed. You know, because I had to go clean up the bone.
All right, so did that just deglove the skin, or did it, like, pop the joint off?
No, the bone was still there. Bone's exposed.
Huh. Yeah, because I think what Jared's saying is, like, the actual finger popped off. That's what I'm reading here. Like, the end of the finger popped off. Yeah, I'll have to ask him, but... I've never seen a degloving of any sort, and I'm not sure that I want to. All right, Rachel continues. Rachel's got lots of stories. Baseball player tore his labrum when he enthusiastically fist pumped, and then another baseball player subluxed his shoulder two times and tore the labrum when he was at bat in batting practice. Get a little too crazy on bat practice.
Bad swings.
That's the people that are like me that don't swing, so you get excited when you actually have a chance to swing.
Come out of your shoes.
Yeah. I remember one time in college, the coach said, "All right, Jeremy, get in there." I said, all right. I'm not a baseball player. You know, I'm just a student athletic trainer out there. So I get out there. I think I missed like 80% of them, you know, just trying to swing for home runs. Just whatever. Surprised I'm still standing. All right. So this one is actually the picture that I'm using for the cover art, I guess, of this podcast. It is from Cy Lake Sports Med. They had a collegiate hammer thrower bailed out of the throw and let the hammer swing around and slide through her hand, through her hand to the wire. And then the end wasn't taped, and so that impaled her finger. I actually have no experience with hammer.
It's crazy. We did it. We covered the Senior Olympic Games in 2011 when they were here. And I was at track and field, and they let us play with the hammer and the javelin. The hammer throw is hard. I can see how that happens, honestly.
So I've never seen it again. I don't like track, and there you go. We don't have that in high school, I don't think. And so they continued somewhere further down. They give me the x-ray of this image. So the image there is pretty cool because you can see about middle of the middle phalange. So the wire goes in, and actually on the x-ray you can see that the wire is just shy of poking out of the distal aspect of that middle finger there. So pretty cool for us, you know, just kind of crazy. And then again, long nails on an athlete there could have caused problems. All right, so continuing down the list, we got what's up doc_the_AT. Got about five of them here. Volleyball athlete had two doctors say a sty in the eye. The third one finally diagnosed her with herpes.
Nice.
All right. That could happen. The same volleyball athlete lost the end of the finger in a snow cone maker. All right. We got a baseball athlete had a ricocheted ball from a pitching machine bounce off the ground and cause testicular contusion that swelled to the size of a grapefruit. I mentioned that a couple years ago we had a kid get kicked and same thing. Super... It's super swollen. And I see the kid walking down the hallway like he's riding a horse.
I think that kid deserved a wheelchair for a few days.
Goodness. So continuing on with what's up, Doc. There was a lacerated liver from a softball collision in the outfield. And nice. Then a kidney lacerated into two pieces from a football tackle. All right, Kevin Joyce coming back in. Again, it's KAYJATC. They almost forgot he had a hockey ref get his upper lip removed by a puck. So there was lots of blood, some great plastic surgery, and then you can barely tell that it happened now. So the guy's working as a state trooper. So a hockey puck catch you in the mouth and remove your lip. Woodford, lots of stories there. Coming back in, so they watched a linebacker run up and literally punt a long snapper's crotch.
Hopefully there was a penalty call.
Said it looked like he had Hada disease with bruising and swelling. Oh, goodness. Michelle Bliss said that he had a kid with a bad upper trap spasm from doing jumping jacks and warm-up.
They need to do a warm-up for their warm-up.
Right. All right, so we're going to continue on. We got Jenny Williams, SJWATC said there was a soccer player that broke his radius and ulnus jumping through a paper hoop on senior night, and a football player that got a cervical strain from shaking out his hair. So I asked her what the paper hoop was, and basically, like, it's a hula hoop kind of thing with paper that, you know, they have the sign, the banners that they run through. And so instead of just walking through it, the kid decided to dive through it and then broke his radius and his ulna for the soccer player there. I don't understand how those people do that, the head banging stuff. Because, man, I start shaking my head for just a minute and, oof, my head starts hurting. All right, so we got Miss Kimmery coming back in. KJ Sigmund had a kid bend over to tie his shoes, felt lightheaded and dizzy, took the vitals and set the example for the students, ended up with an uneven pulse, abnormal rhythm with oscillation, atrial fibrillation that needed a cardioversion. What's a cardioversion? Don't know.
Probably needed some type of cath lab procedure.
Hmm. All right, so we got What's Up Doc coming back in. The most heartbreaking injury was a freshman football athlete that had a neck strain that was causing numbness along the right side of the trap and up the scalp and cheek. Told him that he needed to see the doctor. It didn't sound right, and found out that he had brain cancer, and they ended up passing away after about 10 years of battling that brain cancer. So it's always tougher when it's somebody you know and you deal with rather than, you know, somebody you just see once. So that's actually a great plug. Bubba's here talking about AT's care. If you have a situation like that, you have an athlete pass away or some sort of traumatic event, then reach out to the AT's care in your area. Or you can tweet Bubba and he can point you in the right direction, telling you whoever it is in your area. I think it's a phenomenal service that the NATA has begun. So check out AT's Care. If you just Google that, hit up Bubba, search my website for it. It'll be on there. So we got Ellie Larson. Ellie Larson says that she had a clinical site where dad decided to climb a chain link fence, messing around with his sons, comes over asking for ice. He had a gnarly, shredded, deep cut. It was a hypothenar. They literally put 6 pieces of gauze on it, power flex over it, and told his wife where the nearest hospital was. Sounds about something I would do.
I dealt with a mom this fall at a volleyball tournament that was cutting up fruit and cut her finger, and she actually got, it wasn't completely gone, but got most of the flexor tendon. So, and it was her middle finger, so she came back in later after I got her fast-tracked, and she came back in waving at me, you know, so shooting me the finger for fun, but yeah.
So cutting fruit at the tournament or cutting fruit at home? And then
at
just
the
came
tournament.
Oh, yeah.
They were from out of town, so the kids were playing, they were cutting fruit, they were going to eat after, and sliced her finger.
Oof.
Not paying attention.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, Brady Course. Brady was on the podcast before, talking about a coach wraps tape around the wide receiver's head to stop a nosebleed. You go to rip the tape off after the match, and the kid's nose is facing his ear. He only screamed because they pulled some of the hair out. So he had a... I wonder if the coach just missed it, if it happened later, or what. I don't know how that happens.
They're not looking. They just know they're bleeding.
Stop the bleeding. That's the number one thing there.
Yep.
So, all right, Jenny Williams coming back in. SJWATC. Says he had a football player with staples, a staple into another football player's hand when asking the first athlete, says, "I told you I was going to do it." Number two says, "But I didn't think you were really going to do it." Well, they're boys.
Once again,
they're athletes.
Stupid football players.
But you know, I'm not sure I've ever told this, but I actually put my hand in a stapler once and just hit it to see what.
How old were you?
I had to be like junior high.
Okay,
age.
See, not like yesterday. So
no, I was like, man, that was really, that really hurt. That was really stupid. All right, Tanya McKinney, Tanya MCK, baseball player with a lacerated spleen after a collision at first, with a positive Kerr's sign, abdominal pain, and the running joke in college from then on was, "I broke my spleen for every injury." Ache or soreness the student athletic trainers had, but they followed it, "But does your shoulder hurt?" So that was a good reminder there, using the Kerr sign. You got hit in the abdomen, your shoulder starts hurting. So definitely prepared to recognize the injury.
Nice. Yep. Nice picture.
All right. Mr. Dean, LAT, Mr. Dean 2017, says, "A very large splinter at football practice." There's a nice picture here. The DE made a tackle that continued off the field and into the bushes nearby. They got up to found the Mr. Dean, and said he needed his wound covered to finish practice. He didn't realize that there was something embedded in there. Luckily, his mother was a doctor and removed it. And so you can't really tell by the picture for sure, but it looks to be like a almost like a piece of a pine cone or a piece of bark.
I'm going
mulch, like a piece of mulch.
Yeah, it almost looks like bark mulch, but who knows?
Yeah, and so from the picture, it looks like it's probably an inch or two that it was embedded there.
People, you need to start putting the measuring tape down like they do at crime scenes, so we can get a better idea of.
That's what I'll do a lot of times. I'll put my shoe or my finger so people can like see the size of it, you know, because then you have at least a reference. All right, so again, Mr. Dean apparently likes to take injury pictures because the head athlete with a rope burn get tangled in one of the rope swings at a state park. I wonder if that was Garner. I like Garner. Garner State Park is awesome. Certainly an oddity. So again, get to see the picture. There's like just a straight line across about the front of the ankle, and then with the normal wound care, took care of it. Michelle Bliss coming back in. The kid tore his ACL standing up from a couch and leaning over to give someone a one-armed side hug. Or at least that's how the story went, huh?
Yeah, so many comments.
You never know. It could happen. Kids do it dancing. Kim Schneider, Kimmy _AT, twin brother defensive lineman tearing their right ACLs 1 week apart, the recovery from the surgery being so different between the two of them. So they had different PTs, and one of them had a little bit more stuff going on, but twin brothers tearing their ACL 1 week apart, that's pretty crazy. Reminds me of the movie The Notebook. Have you seen The Notebook, Bubba?
No.
It's good.
It's a chick flick. I won't see it.
You should watch it. It's good.
No.
Let me invite you over. You can watch it.
I'm good.
You sure?
I'm good.
We have it. Thanks.
Appreciate it. I'm good.
Okay. All right. Shout out to The Notebook. And then I forgot to. So Kim also says they had one that didn't lay. Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about continuing the football injuries. Is that one that didn't play the following season and the other one did. So PAWS pause, which is KONU 16, says personality wise. Oh, I'm sorry. It's still continuing on that.
Go to NCHS.
There we go. NCHSATC says they were treating athlete with POTS and it was difficult to not be able to do anything but monitor symptoms and prevent
POTS.
Not thoracic outlet syndrome. That's
TOS. I don't know what POTS is.
I thought I looked it up. I can't remember now. So I'll look it up here in a second. All right. And then Megan Chaffin and Selena Felton also commented saying they have experience with that as well. Megan Melinchek, Mega_Tron22, also had an athlete give himself a concussion doing a pull-up. Selena said had an athlete with a concussion while taking a nap. I think we hit a bump or something on the bus, and I woke up with a really bad headache. I can definitely see that happening. You know, like we're about to go for a long plane trip this summer. I'm planning to sleep on the plane. I hope I don't fall off and fall in the aisle or something
like
that. Just
get you a neck pillow.
I'm going to. Actually, I already have it. It's in the closet. All right. Amy Struck. It's without a C. Say Struk. So on Gator Tape Girl. So Amy Struck or Gator Tape Girl had a volleyball player bust open her chin while doing the worm during warm-ups. Volleyball does the craziest things during warm-ups. They play chase or tag or doing the worm or this big old like line thing where they have to all roll over at the same time. Anyways.
And the next one's classic.
All right. So this one here?
Yes.
So she also continues, it was not odd but funny. So the Ukrainian-born soccer player collided with another player on a header and had a big laceration on his head. As I put on my gloves, he said, "Yeah, you should use those because I grew up close to Chernobyl." Yeah, that's a good. All right. Grew up close to Chernobyl. You know, I had I think it was Albanian. It was like some German area country guy playing, and he broke his arm. So it was obviously a radial ulnar fracture. And he was like, "Yeah, my dad's going to be so pissed. He would just tell me to just brace it and get back out there and play." Like, what the heck? Crazy. Different world. Daria Marie said they had a college basketball player, doctor diagnosed with raging cellulitis, was non-compliant with non-weight-bearing after syndesmosis ankle sprain and coupled with untreated athlete's foot, hospitalized for IV antibiotics, a boot, and then plantar fasciitis. So they didn't play for 3 months. Just follow instructions.
That'll teach you.
You ever had a staph infection?
Personally, no.
I did 3 times in college. I was playing, I think, intramural basketball, and I slid on the floor and scraped up my knee on the gym floor there. So right where I scraped it, like, it was super swollen. Ended up going to the team doctor. He's like, man, if you'd waited any longer, you'd probably be in the hospital with IVs. So then I had something else. I had something similar a couple other times in college. So I promise I wasn't putting on dirty girdles like that one kid. All right, we got Melissa Robinson, ML Adams, 73. Had a college track kid going to half-speed hurdles, sustained a spiral fracture of his femur. Oh, spiral fracture. Damon Amato says, preseason football camp in the woods, 30 minutes from the nearest hospital. Had 1, a shoulder dislocation. 2, an unhappy triad. 3, a major concussion. And 4, a clavicle fracture. 5, a skull fracture, all in the same practice. All freak things, not poor coaching.
At a skull fracture on a track girl. She was walking on the outside of the track by the fence, and some kids were screwing around and threw a discus and hit her in the head. And, yeah, so.
Yeah, we actually talked about that when I talked with Kathy and Thomas about some track and discus shot put stuff. I'm not sure if you heard, but he had a dad catch a discus in the head, had an open skull fracture. Like, if he moved his hand, his brain was kind of popping out. So, kind of crazy. All right, so Adam, AT_Adam, said he had a football duodenum contusion. Same kid next year had a fractured manubrium. That's really strange. All right, so a first responder at a Boston Marathon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Winner.
That one's pretty brutal. Mavlax20 said athlete with a pacemaker, cardiologist restricts to no contact sports but clears him to wrestle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Had an athlete have a seizure the day of the volleyball tryouts who did not try out because she did not have the correct medical forms completed. All right. Dexter_ATCs_Dexter_AT_ says athlete uses the same TENS unit on her knee that she used on her cattle to make their veins pop out so they sell for more money. All right. So you're prodding cattle with your TENS unit there. We got Dan Morgan, Captain Morgan, said a football player runs a 40-yard dash first day of camp, ends up admitted for 5 days with rhabdo. And then a lacrosse player lost his distal phalanx when someone closed his dorm room door on it. All right, we got Herd Sports Medicine saying football kid had a stroke during preseason camp. So there you go. So since you've had your kid with a stroke, Bubba, how many times have you seen somebody else say that there was a high school kid with a stroke?
Not many.
Not many?
Not many.
All right. Maintenance guy falls out of a tree and then called him. He ended up having multiple fractures and stuff like that. So, again, you got to kind of be ready for everybody. Alyssa Freeman had a college baseball player break his hand, slamming it into his car door. Friends later ratted him out that he fell out of bed getting intimate with his girlfriend. There you go, another sex injury. Just keep it in your pants, boys. Nick Hoops says they had an athlete with an ascended testicle. Talk about one of those things you only read in the textbooks. And I said, I'm just going to read about it. That's it. And I think it brings us to the end. What else you got? Anything else?
Mm-mm.
That's a lot. All right. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/war stories. And I believe this one's 3. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
So we did war stories and then war stories 2 and then war stories 3 is this one. And again, if you're at NATA in New Orleans, come say hi to me, to Bubba, to Kathy, to Rob, to anybody there at the Dragonfly IMAX booth. And, you know, if you got somebody that you want to interview or introduce us to, then bring them there. Come be part of the show. Meet us. It's really cool to know that people from all over the country will be gathered at this one spot, and people from all over the country are tuning in, listening to what we're sharing today. So come meet us, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/war stories 3. I am Mr. Jeremy Jackson on Twitter. Bubba is ATCLAT. Bubba. Contact one of us if you have some more stories, some more questions, and then we'll get them on here as best we can. So without much further ado, I think that is a wrap.